When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Well, you did hear Deborah's lead. The Bass lead is now over 29,000 votes in the race for mayor. Wasn't it 10,000 when we started the show?
Less than 10,000.
Now it's 29,000. Wow. That was a big pickup today.
Where are these votes
I guess
coming?
They just did a vote dump.
Huh? Yeah, where are these votes coming from? Who are these people?
This happened in June, too. He won that night. He was up by several percentage points, and then he ended up losing by 7 or 8 percentage points. So same thing's happening. The Times says it's young people who vote late.
Young people?
Younger than, like, probably 60. Yeah, that's considered young. When it comes to voting, that's considered young.
I want to know the demographic that is happy with 40,000 homeless people in the streets, encampments in front of schools.
Oh, it's Caruso is like Trump. I don't want him. I don't want a business guy running my city.
Yeah, that's a bright person, huh?
That's probably the assessment of many. Right?
Yeah, that's really smart.
I feel bad for the homeless. Why are you people bashing them? They deserve our help and sympathy.
These people should have homeless encampments in their kitchen. Honestly. Everybody who voted for Karen Bass, you're going to get 5 guys living in your kitchen tomorrow morning as punishment.
All right. It's not over, but we'll give you an update coming up later on this hour. We get a look closer at the latest release of votes by the LA County Registrar of Voters. Last Friday, we talked about this story out of Long Beach, specifically downtown Long Beach, where they are dealing with some serious problems along the same line that John just mentioned. Prominent downtown businesses say they may close if safety concerns are not addressed by the city. They have had a huge uptick in the homeless population. According to city numbers, Long Beach's unhoused population surged 62% since 2020. Overall property crime in downtown is up 23% this year. We mentioned this before. In October, the city had to temporarily close the Billie Jean King Main Library due to security concerns.
Can you imagine that? Nobody can use the library. It's gotten that bad.
22.4% of office spaces in downtown were vacant as of the second quarter of this year.
You Karen Bass voters. It's going to come to your neighborhood, too. You're going to lose your library. You're going to lose your favorite restaurants, your favorite shops. It's happening in Santa Monica. It's devastated. It's happening in Long Beach. It's going to happen in all your favorite neighborhoods in L.A., too.
Well, we have a deli owner, and we also have a manager of a nearby condo complex who are going to come on and talk about the situation.
All right. We're going to talk with Orsa Modica. She's the deli owner. And Joe Harding, who manages the condo complex. Welcome, Orsa. How are you?
Hi. Hi. Thank you for having us.
And Joe, welcome as well.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us on.
All right. We'll start with you, Orsa. Describe what's going on in your neighborhood and talk about the half-naked man that came into your restaurant.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the topics, right? Well, what's going on is that we have a surge here. 62%, that's a fact. 62% of homeless people here in Long Beach and 4% in L.A. We are dealing with the homeless that are mental health, drug addiction. We have to police our own neighborhoods. I'm policing my own patio, and I have individuals that come in, that one story that you've heard about the naked man coming in to my restaurant. He's not the only one. That was the one that really kind of struck a nerve for me because I'm a mother, and it really hit me hard to see a man naked from the waist down come up to a table where there were three children between the ages of 5 and 8. And he grabbed their lemonade. They were there for a birthday party.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, birthday party, the grandmother and two mothers. And the grandmother lives two buildings down, and the children have not been in here since. I used to be their favorite restaurant.
He had no pants or underwear on? Is that what you said?
Nothing.
Oh,
zero.
Just a shirt?
Just a shirt.
Joe, talk about what you're experiencing managing the condo.
Yeah, so we have 173 condo complex condo units there and 8 commercial units, and we're risking losing our commercial tenants because they've had enough. You can't sit outside at the parklets and have a drink or just have a meal because you're accosted 5 or 6 times while you're just sitting there. It's and as Orsa said, it's the violent, it's the drug and mentally unstable, drug addicted and mentally unstable, and it's the perpetually homeless. We're not talking about the group that are struggling and coming down to the pantries and picking up food to go and picking up diapers on Fridays and some of the other things that we have here in the neighborhood. We're talking about the trouble ones, the ones that are violent and addicted and mentally unstable. We're not trained to deal with all these things that we've just been forced to deal with.
Why do you think there's been such a surge? 62% in 2 years is a huge increase. Do you have
part of it? We have a small group here that have been active, and we're taking a creative look at all the different things that might be adding to this. And one of the things was the end of the line metro drop, where the last 4 trains every night are coming in and dropping everybody off, making everyone get off the train, whether they want to be in Long Beach or not. And that's part of the surge. And another one is that we have this in the downtown area. We have this organization that provides meals twice a day. Now, the city moved their services where everybody can go inside and talk to counselors and get help. They moved that to the other side of town and left the food service here. So where do you think everyone's staying? And like I say, it's the perpetually homeless. I think it's a cruel policy to just keep feeding them and sending them back onto the streets with no hope of ever having anything happen to them.
Right. That just sustains them in their current place.
Now,
I just said that sustains them in their current place, so there's no incentive to change anything.
No. And they hang around the neighborhood. They never leave. And then with the new ones coming into town, they meet new friends and end up over at this place, and we're just inundated. And we have urine and feces and needles and drug use and screaming and mental behavior and violence and residents that have been clocked in the head with a pipe and sent to the hospital in ICU for 11 days with a broken eye socket and a broken arm. People being chased. I was sitting having lunch with our city council member, and a crazy guy walked by, and all I did was look at him in case I needed to provide his description with him for 3 seconds. And he came over to the edge and said he threatened to kill both of us and everybody sitting at the table. You know, wow. So you can't even have lunch sitting outside.
When you tell these stories to city leaders, what is the response? They think you people are just, you know, fringe stories, or do they take you seriously?
These are facts, and the councilwoman was there at that lunch that Joe was talking about. So these are things that a lot of people are experiencing. They understand that it's going on. So we're definitely seeing that they're listening, but we need something done.
Well, haven't they been hearing these stories for years, though?
They have.
They've been hearing these stories for years.
Yeah. Okay, so listening isn't enough here. What do they tell you why they refuse to do anything concrete?
No, we keep going to these meetings, and they keep hitting us with all the figures that they have 77 or 55 million. We've heard both. And they keep talking about the services that are being provided, which is wonderful. Let's get these people off the streets.
Okay,
but want to get off the streets.
There's more and more people on the streets. So whatever their services, it's not doing the job here. They're failing.
It's not.
Mental services. It's yeah.
They're failing, or the services are attracting more people.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got the Metro, that's a mobile homeless shelter, right?
Yeah.
It gets kicked off in the middle of the night. And in the middle of the night, when we need services for them and they don't know where they're at, the services, they're all at home sleeping in their beds. But Joe and I are going out there and we're videotaping. Joe's interviewing these people, and these people are lost. They don't even know where they're at. These people... It's a crime. What's happening to these people?
All right. Can you both hold on?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We're talking to Orsa Modica. She owns a deli, Modica's Deli in downtown Long Beach. The other person on the line is Joe Harding, who manages a nearby condo complex. They are part of the business owners in downtown Long Beach who are just telling the city the homeless, crime, drug problem. It has led to a lot of vacancies already with businesses in downtown Long Beach. And they said if this continues, they may have to close up too if the city doesn't do something about this problem. I mean, we'll repeat that statistic because it is unbelievable. But according to their own stats, down in Long Beach, there's been a 62% increase in Long Beach's homeless population since 2020. I think about that. And that makes sense because when the pandemic hit, who was left to take the mass transit, John, right? The vagrants.
Yeah.
So they were riding that blue line down to Long Beach. End of the line, you got to get off, you need to clean the trains, and just staying. That's some of them, not all of them, but clearly a lot of them. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. Oh, and the keyword's coming next. Live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. All right, we'll give you the sad update on the latest vote count coming out of Los Angeles County Registrar after the news at 4:30. We continue now talking to Orsa. Orsa Modica runs a deli in downtown Long Beach. Also on the air is Joe Harding, who manages a condominium complex. They are among business owners who are saying that the increasing crime and homelessness are really affecting their ability to conduct their businesses in this area of the city.
Now, Orsa, I mean, I know Joe can't really close a condo, but Orsa, you could close or move your business. Are you starting to consider that?
Well, I mean, for the first time a month ago, and let me just state, I've been here for 27 years in business in downtown Long Beach, and I have never seen this in 27 years, what's happening today. And yes, I hit a point where I was like, I don't know how much more I can take of this. You know, we did have that meeting last week, and I am hopeful. There was so much frustration that was heard in the room that day. And we did have, at the end of the meeting, Mary Zendeja, our councilwoman for District 1, state that they were going to do a public health emergency. And I'm just hoping and praying that all of these things are going to happen and hold, you know, every official accountable for what they say they're going to do. And I will continue to voice what I really strongly believe in, because I feel like as a business owner, I have everything to lose.
Joe, did you get a sense that they were finally willing to take action? Was this meeting different than the other meetings in any significant way?
We do have other players that are involved now, so other people have come on board that also have a significant voice to help us move this forward.
Like who?
So I do. I am hopeful. Like the Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Chamber of Commerce, some other prominent businesses in another area of town that we haven't heard from before, like the Promenade area. So it's nice to see that these other people are no longer afraid to step forward. It seemed like a negative thing to do, as if we're anti-homeless or something to that effect.
Is that it? They were afraid to step forward publicly because they didn't want to be labeled as anti-homeless.
You know, that's part of it. We started out with a petition, and part of it, we got backlash from that because people were saying that the petition was wrong because we need to help the homeless. And you know, some people weren't looking at it in the full picture. They're looking at more of a NIMBY kind of thing, like not in my backyard. And we've been doing and I do have eight commercial properties on the ground floor of our condo complex. So I do have the risk of losing business as well and having to worry about filling those back up again. And I have residents that are afraid to walk. I've been asked to walk people to and from the Terrace Theater just around the corner here because these people are afraid to walk by themselves.
Did the mayor come, Robert Garcia?
No, mayor's been absent since he started running for federal office, so he's been absent.
Yeah, he's going
to
be.
I mean, there's not been a press conference. We've heard nothing from him.
Your mayor is about to be in Congress, and your police chief's about to be L.A. County Sheriff.
Correct.
So who's going to be the new mayor?
Rex Richardson is what we think so far. They haven't made the official announcement, but he was ahead in the
right.
result.
And do you know what his attitude is on this?
We've not heard much from him at all as well. Unfortunately, this came up at the October 4th city council meeting, and we felt a little slighted because they were too busy with their politicking to listen. So if you get a chance, pay attention to that meeting and see what it took to just get the city to authorize a letter to going to Metro. It would act as if we were asking for $10 million.
I mean, business is down by over 25%. There's a lot of vacancies in downtown Long Beach. Businesses just closed up. I mean, what do they think causes that? Don't they want to do anything about that?
We've been talking about it.
Go
ahead. You go.
No, I mean, they better think about that because this is the engine, the entertainment area in Long Beach. And if they don't pay attention to these vacancies, which you walk down the street, there's a lot of vacancies already. We're going to have a lot more.
What is the Chamber of Commerce doing to help you guys?
Well, at this last meeting, he was there and I did speak to him briefly, and I do feel like he's on board to help us out. I'm hoping to have a meeting with him shortly. Joe and I are trying to meet with every single person that we can.
Let me just read you his quote here in the Long Beach Business Journal. His name is Jeremy Harris, the CEO of the Long Beach Chamber of Commerce. This I don't like this quote. Well, I don't think the city's done enough to address issues, but Long Beach is not alone. This issue is unfolding across all major cities in the country right now. That, to me, is a dodge. It's trying to say, well,
sure,
you know, we're all overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. What can we really do right now? Because everyone's facing this problem.
No, you need somebody to say, we're ending this here now.
Exactly right.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. We need to end this now. We need to take this conversation that's making everyone uncomfortable and start talking about it and then cutting through the red tape. I mean, I don't know what they need to do. Yeah, it is going around throughout the country. Then make it a state emergency. Let's get FEMA in here. Let's get a tent out here. Let's get the services out here. Cut through the red tape. There's things that they can do, but they're afraid. They're afraid to do these different things.
That's what it is. They're afraid. They're afraid of the pro-homeless crowd. They're afraid of being labeled with their insulting names. And that these people are so cowardly. It's infuriating how these progressives have mastered the art of shaming people into silence so that you can't even complain if somebody's defecating on your front lawn.
Exactly. Well, let's look at it and turn it around. What are they doing for them? Isn't that a crime to see these people on the street with no food, no services, no mental health support? I mean, come on. That in itself,
not even an open bathroom.
Knowing about it is a crime. You know about this. That's a crime.
All right. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah, we thank you both for coming on, and we hope the more voice you get in the media, you know, you get some action taken.
We appreciate you bringing light to this. We're grateful.
Let's stay in touch, and we'll talk again, all right? And if you keep running into barricades, let us know, all right?
Sounds great.
Absolutely.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you for joining us.
We got to turn the tables on these progressives and their shaming routine, their intimidation routine. They've lorded over everyone long enough now.
That's two downtown Long Beach business people who just came on our show to talk about the problem with homelessness, crime, drug use. More and more businesses are folding up and leaving, and, you know, they're at their end. They may have to do the same thing. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, Mike. Glad you could join me for some great seafood.
Me too.
Wait, why are you dressed in fishing gear?
You said we were going out to catch great seafood, right?
Yes, to Popeyes. Do you even know how to fish?
No, I thought you did.
Oh, yeah, I could catch pretty good seafood at Popeyes. Let's go.
Let Popeyes do the fishing while you enjoy our delicious signature seafood. Get Popeyes flounder fish sandwich or shrimp tackle box before they're gone. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants.
I just feel bad for those Long Beach business owners, and just something you hear in too many places. They're just overrun with homeless people, crime, and drug use, and they're losing customers. What? And as you heard, they're losing some tenants.
When these progressives figure it out, like crack the code, that you shame people, you bully them, you call them names, you assign NIMBYism to their views, right? Everyone always gets defensive when you're called a NIMBY, not in my backyard. Not in my backyard. Embrace it. Saying, you're right, I'm a NIMBY. I don't want a guy living in my backyard in a tent. How about that? I don't want a child molester living in front of my kid's school. Yeah, not in my backyard. You're absolutely right.
You're anti-homeless.
Because I paid for my back. Yes, I'm anti-people living in the streets. Absolutely. And you know what? You have to embrace this stuff. Don't be intimidated. Don't be cowardly. These people are superficial bullies. And they have perfected the idea that if they charge you with some kind of ism, some kind of phobic reaction, right? They've got a whole list of names for you and just accuse you of not being kind enough and nice enough and humane enough. And they've totally flipped reality on its head when their policies cause people to die by the thousands in LA alone, thousands in the street. It's incredible. It's like jujitsu. How'd you do that? What a trick. Your policies are killing people. You're bringing a lot of suffering, and you got everybody else intimidated by accusing them. Wow, nice going. That was such a mind trick, and it worked.
We have told you that while remarkably homelessness was the top issue really for LA city voters in the mayor's race, as these results continue to crawl in, the trend is clear. Karen Bass is overwhelmingly winning the ballots that are still being counted by the LA County Registrar Recorder's Office. The update that came out this afternoon, with supposedly nearly 76% of the expected vote in, her lead is now 29,000 votes over Rick Caruso. This latest dump, she took in 63% of more than 76,000 newly counted ballots.
This is terrible. This is the death knell for Los Angeles.
So
I don't know how many more years the smart people, the people who actually work for a living, they're going to move out. They're just going to have to move out.
Yeah, I think he was the last hope for changing anything with the status quo with the homelessness and crime.
I've always been intrigued by Detroit, and Detroit was a very big, powerful city. You know, it was late in the 1950s. They had a tremendous amount of industry, right? The automobile industry was there. And a very powerful working middle class that came from the unions. And then in the 60s, things started to rot. And by the 70s, it was completely destroyed. And I know a guy who actually bought a huge parcel of land in Detroit for a dollar, because he's a businessman and he develops real estate, builds factories and things. And he told me one day, he goes, yeah, I bought it for a dollar. See what happens. And what happened to Detroit killed it almost for good for like 50 years. And this will happen in Los Angeles. It will, because every normal person I know talks out loud. If they haven't moved, or they haven't like part-time moved, they're tied down with kids or a job, but everyone's got the same attitude. First chance I get when the stars align in my life, I'm not going to live like this.
The city council election, of interest to John Cobelt and people on the west side, the 11th district, is still Tracy Park. She's got a 54% to 46% advantage over Erin Darling. It was 55-45 election night. So it may have dropped 1%, but she's still hanging on
to
nearly a 6,000-vote lead.
That's really interesting because the West Side, we had the worst councilman. He was the most pro-homeless fanatic.
Oh, he's voting no.
Mike
Bonnie. It was him and that Nithya Raman vote no on any attempt.
And I've talked about him 1,000 times, and I have met him, and I've argued with him in public in front of other people. And he is absolutely a miserable, miserable human being. And what's fascinating is you are not going to get an area more white, woke, wealthy than the West Side. And I always tell you, beware of the four W's. There's a demographic, white, woke, wealthy women. And they vote very Democratic. And they're behind a lot of these policies. Like many of the bad, bad candidates, like Gascon candidates, it is wealthy women who were married to big tech husbands. Maybe they had a divorce. Or maybe they're still married, but they have a control of a fair amount of money. And they love tossing money into these progressive causes. I don't know what it is. But you have a lot of that on the West Side. And they turned against Bonin, apparently. And maybe you have to have, like, the whole city experience what the West Side experienced before finally you get enough people to turn. And maybe there's too many areas in L.A. that are untouched day to day. Because, see, on the West Side, it was infiltrating normal neighborhoods, like all over Venice. People who were doing really well in life had all these atrocities going on. And then, you know, in Brentwood, we had that homeless encampment at the VA. So it was starting to distort real life, even in places that had lived comfortably. And maybe there are still too many places in L.A. that hasn't quite reached them yet. But if Mike Bonin could go down.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, he quit.
They loved him. He won his last election with 71%. And finally, he was nearly recalled. He was forced out, quit, and now his protege, his 2.0, is losing by 8 points, and there's about a quarter of the vote left. So we'll see if that holds. But man, that'd be huge.
All right, we got more coming up. It is the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I was looking over the weekend. One of the local newspapers published the 2022 election California count. And it's a map, a graphic of the state broken up by the 58 counties. Just shows you. The statewide offices were, of course, won fairly easily by Democrat candidates. For instance, the attorney general is going to be Rob Bonta. He will be elected now to that position after being appointed by Newsom, the Republican Nathan Hochman. It was about 58%, at least of the vote count at this point, for Bonta, about 42% for Hochman. But when you look at the county map, which shades in each candidate's, you know, where they got the plurality of votes, it's so lopsided, it's bizarre. It looks like the United States electoral map.
Right, yeah.
Where, like, everything in the middle is red, but on both coasts is blue. Oh, the entire coast, pretty much, of California voted for Bonta in this example, right? All those counties that come right down the coast. But the many, many, many numerous inland counties all voted for Hochman.
Yeah.
That could have been a few voters in some of those counties. That's the reason that it just is it like a bizarre...
I,
when they call them coastal elites, they're not kidding kind of thing.
Oh, they really are.
Yeah.
They're rich. They
that's
live
where these urban areas along the coast where the people or the votes come from are all.
They live by the ocean and they don't care about other people's problems at all. They preach this progressive nonsense about, you know, caring for other. They don't care for other people.
They just vote party line, right?
Yeah. And
that's the party of Trump. I'm not voting for those people.
But
maybe even before Trump, they said that. But
you know what? The red part is probably should separate from the blue part in California and take it all the way up to Oregon. You want to build a super state beyond just Greater Idaho? You could draw a line probably like all the way down to like Riverside County.
Yeah, it'd be more of east and west than north and south.
East and west.
It's all the western counties.
That's right. Because all the politicians in Sacramento, they care nothing about the people who live in the eastern half of the state or the eastern two-thirds of the state. They don't care. Same thing in Oregon, too. And that's a whole different life and sensibility. And they have no representation in either state capital because they're outnumbered in population.
The one thing that did happen, though, it's kind of funny. Those gambling propositions, 26 and 27, a majority of people in every single county voted it down. Both of them.
That really surprised me.
It's supposedly one of the most lopsided votes in proposition history.
I guess I'm out of touch with how people feel on gambling because I see so much gambling in public life, right? You watch any sporting events and you're inundated with commercials for FanDuel. And what's the other one?
DraftKings.
DraftKings, right? Constantly. Sports talk hosts are constantly, there's like that station that Mark Thompson used to work
KTO
at.
KTO is
in
now,
San Francisco.
Right.
So it's an all betting format. You now see it, on football, sportscasts and pregame shows. There's all this stuff about betting and the spread and then this and that. And it's like, well, this will be a slam dunk. Look how crazy people are about the lottery. Look at all the people in California who go to Las Vegas.
And when I saw that a number of other states allow online gambling, I thought, California doesn't seem any more uptight.
Yeah.
I would have expected, people in Oklahoma and Utah to say no to.
We're morally the loosest state, the least religious state, the least uptight state when it comes to all these social issues. We're busy legalizing, marijuana, for example. I mean, there's not much restrictions on private life here, right? Hey, you go enjoy your abortion, everything. When it comes to gambling, it was overwhelming.
It'll addict people and just make more homeless people. Maybe? No.
I don't know. When you have that overwhelming a margin, there must be a bunch of reasons. And I realize people are probably very swayed by the absurd TV commercials. And unfortunately, people are swayed by absurd TV commercials.
Right.
But I tuned a lot of them out.
I think happened.
Really surprised me.
A cacophony of no. Some people just said, I don't want to hear anything about this anymore. I'm voting no.
I feel like it's going to come one day because it's just the dam is breaking on all this stuff. Like anything that religion used to ban has fallen by the wayside. And maybe gambling out here is the last bastion. Yeah.
It could be that way. All right. We got more coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. This is the final keyword of the day. Just that quickly is here for your chance at $1,000. By the way, John, we got a nice email. A woman really wanted to thank you because you read the keyword twice. Doesn't seem the other hosts do that. And John reads the keyword twice, and it gives me a moment to capture it again. So there you go.
Wow.
Look at you.
Look,
doing your host DJ work.
There's a purpose for me. Finally, there's a purpose.
We got more coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup and the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the Advanced Network, cybersecurity solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.